You're listening to Band Geek with Richie Castellano on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
What's up, Band Geeks? Richie here. This is episode 10, which we recorded on May 29th. This one was one of Andy's ideas. He wanted to do a spotlight on me. So Muff takes the reins and asks me a bunch of questions that either you guys had or questions that I guess he's always wanted to know the answer to. I don't know. But you'll hear that it quickly turns into an all-out Facebook request fest. And we do rapid-fire Facebook requests, which are actually the songs you guys have been requesting. And we play a lot of them. And not only the easy stuff, we do some off-the-wall stuff too. And it was a lot of fun. Fun to play, not so much fun to mix, but whatever. If you like this show, let us know and we'll try to do more like it. If you like the show in general, please go on iTunes and rate the show and add comments. You have no idea how much that helps us out. So if you're a supporter of the show and you like what you're hearing, please let us know by going to iTunes or wherever you listen to the show. If there's a rating system, please rate the show and write a nice review if you want, or write a crappy review if you want. It's up to you. A couple of BOC dates coming up that I want to tell you about. We're playing on, what day is it? Okay, right. We're playing Canton, Ohio on July 30th at the Pro Football Hall of Fame Enshrinement Festival and Ribs Burn Off at the Stark County Fairgrounds. Then in August, on the 2nd, we're playing Marina Del Rey, California at the Burton Chase Park. Then we have two dates with one of my favorite groups, Deep Purple, in California. Costa Mesa on the 6th of August at my favorite venue, or one of my favorite venues, the Pacific Amphitheater. And then on the 8th of August in Lincoln, California, at the Thunder Valley Casino Resort, again with Deep Purple. So that's going to be really exciting, a lot of fun. If you're around, come down, enjoy the show, and say hi to us. So here we go. This is the All About Me episode. I hope you like it, and enjoy the show. Welcome to Band Geek. I'm Richie Castellano. Here with me is my co-host, Jarrett Pressman.
Shalom.
Nice.
Wow.
On drums, Andy Ascalise.
Hey.
On vocals, Anne-Marie Castellano.
Yo.
Our audience of one, Brandy Metaxas.
Hello.
And joining us again, he's been rehired. Andy rehired him. After being fired a couple weeks ago. Returning is my cousin, Phil Castellano, on bass. Welcome back, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot, Andy. Really means a lot to have you back.
You're welcome.
Don't get used to
so
it.
So you're still on probation. Okay.
Did you guys patch things up?
Yeah, we did. It's all good now.
Yeah?
Yeah, right, Andy?
Yeah, we're fine.
We're fine.
We're good.
What happened?
We're fine now. How are you?
Nothing happened.
Yeah, it was, you know.
Nothing's easy to patch up.
We bonded.
Everybody's good now? You guys, we all like each other again?
Yeah. He's all right.
I still don't like you.
I don't like you either.
I have the death sentence on 12 systems.
So I believe... this is kind of cool because even though this is the 10th podcast, this is actually... We just released... We've been doing them ahead of time. So we have like a... No, everybody. I tell the people what date it was recorded. Just so in case I'm on the road and I can't do one, I always have something to play. So we're a little bit... Ahead or behind? What do you call that?
We're ahead.
So
I'm always ahead, baby.
Oh God.
We're ahead. So
10 shows in, and now you're like, oh, he's disgusting.
So this is actually the first week the podcast has been out, and the where we cracked the top 200 of music podcasts. I'm very excited about that. I'm glad people like it.
And thank you for the listener.
Yeah, thanks for subscribing. Thanks, Rob. Thanks to Rob Sprantz from Riotcast Networks. I've been experimenting with other podcasts on the network, I listened to Robert Kelly's "You Know What, Dude," and that was hysterical. And of course, the whole and another one I listened to. Oh, I listened to the Nick DiPaolo show where they had Artie Lang on. That was incredible. One of my favorites, I think, is Jim Florentine. Do you know who Jim Florentine is? He's from Crank Yankers and That Metal Show.
Oh, cool.
It's just him talking and complaining about things. And I love that.
It's
to
like,
me, it's
I
like,
hang out with you.
But the thing is, it's like it's like he'll complain about something and there's dead silence. And because he knows that I'm cracking up in the dead silence. I know I'm not supposed to mention other podcasts, but I don't care. Go download the Jim Florentine Metal Midget Show and listen to his review of Rock of Ages, the movie. It's priceless. It is I can't even do it justice describing what it is, but I was in the car rolling. I mean, I didn't love the movie, but I didn't like hate it either. But he has a deeper hatred of the movie that you got to see it. But anyway,
I gotta do that.
So I believe we're gonna try something a little different. I'm the guest today on the show,
hey!
And that's either very clever or very lazy of us.
Well, everyone's tuning in. It's Band Geek featuring Richie Castellano, and now let's look behind and see and learn about
who
our friend and host over here.
So I can't interview myself
tonight on Behind the Music.
Exactly.
So I guess Jared's going to take point on this one. Co-host, you've been promoted to main host.
I was main host a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, you were. That's right.
So this is Spotlight, Richie Castellano.
Well, we know...
Spotlight.
This jingle proves this is a terrible idea.
I gotta say something though. I'm very excited because this is the first podcast I'm experimenting with a different guitar rig, and I'm using my VHT GP3 preamp right into a guitar rig, and I'm kind of digging this sound.
Nice.
It's a fresh tone, man.
If I knew how to play jazz, this would be awesome. No, I know what jazz is like. You want to hear one?
Okay.
Ooh. Gotta enter the blues, though.
Oh, yeah.
You don't like that lick?
It never ended.
Well, it's a jazz lick. It's still going in my head, man. Do you ever watch? I'm sorry. You're supposed to do the show right now, but do you ever watch a really great jazz performer and like you have recordings of them? And you're like, man, this guy's awesome. And then you see them live, and you go to a little club like the Blue Note or something, and you get to stand like 10 feet away from them.
Right.
And what you hear is this.
It builds. It starts by like.
Oh, okay.
And then he starts getting into it, and then.
All right, so let me try it again.
It's really swinging. You gotta really swinging.
But I just remember, I was like, man, they must have isolated that guitar amp for those recordings because you can't hear him thinking.
You'll hear it on the.
Yeah? Talking to the microphone. I can't hear you, woman.
I don't wanna. Hello.
Okay.
Anne-Marie just came from the pram.
Yeah, how was the
pram? Pram. It was beautiful.
Who'd
it was
you
like
take
the
with
movies.
You?
Did they get you a corsage? I don't know why the pram is from Boston.
The pram with the corsage.
Oh my god. Oh crap.
So anyway, what that is a lot of great jazz improvisers, they sing what they're playing, but a lot of them don't have vocal ability. So, but that doesn't stop them from singing what they're playing. I'm unprepared today. I don't have anything planned except to hand the show over to Jarrett. Go, Jarrett.
Well, let's
go,
preface
Jarrett,
this a little
go,
bit.
Go.
this was Andy's idea.
I can't stop it now.
That's the sound my bowels make. This was Andy's idea because we know we've been doing shows and you know we've done a little bit of background on Richie, but we've never really gotten. You did say it before. You were like behind Richie, like we know what your interests are. Obviously,
behind
this show
the
is
persona.
Behind the
persona.
Last time Andy was behind me, we were in a hotel room together.
Drinking Mountain Dew
on the road,
which you shouldn't do.
Just a couple of guys.
No, people are tuning in because your name is on the thing, and we should let people know exactly.
Wait, what's the thing?
His name's all over that. Thing.
His name's all over. His picture's all over it too.
Andy's penis. My name is on Andy's penis, right, Brandy?
It's correct.
It says Richie was here.
It says Richie was here
on
first.
Andy's penis. It kind of says Richie.
No, that's not true. Give it a little time.
You got to let me warm up a little bit. Let me roll it out. Wow. Like you're making a pretzel.
What? What is happening?
Oh, this is boy. What happens when we're unprepared. So 10 shows in. Everybody still listening?
I'm prepared.
Okay, here we go. We're gonna get into Richie's history a little bit. I brought up the official bio from RichieCastellano.com.
Wow,
because
which is 18 paragraphs.
It is.
That was written by my biographer.
My biographer. I've known you. Wait.
You have to look how long you've known me.
Wait a minute. No, I'm pretty sure I saw my name somewhere. I used to be in a picture on this thing.
This is like Charlie Rose right now.
Wait, there I am. Nope. Oh, yeah, there I am. I'm already at the end.
So basically, your interviewing technique is look for a mention of your own name in the person's biography, you can't see your own name, you
How
can't do
How about we
interview.
Search Richie Castellano in Google search and read the first three Ooh. Things that come
it's
up?
The, it's the same way that I do when I listen to people
this
talking
This is so
in
vain
language.
Right now. This is the most narcissistic thing I've done.
It's
Richie's
fine,
so gay and he don't even like
us.
Boys.
You're going to type into Google and like X videos is going to come up.
RichieCastellano.com.
Richie Castellano, you know.
Okay, this wait. Is the place to learn more about Blue Oyster Cult guitarist and keyboardist.
And
Richie Castellano.
That's videos.
Dude, you have a Wikipedia page.
I do.
Is it wrong?
No, there was a...
Wikipedia, number two.
I think
Google search.
If I'm mistaking the guy's name, his name is Dave Elkins. He's a Wikipedia contributor, and he made it, and he contacted me just to verify a few things, and it was really cool. I'm very flattered to have one of those.
There's trivia.
What?
Wait,
there's
what?
Richie Castellano trivia on Wikipedia. Okay.
Wait.
Oh, they're not
oh
like.
My God.
Let's play this.
Oh wait, that's right. Okay. For those of you listening for the first time and have not checked out Richie's Wikipedia page, Richie was in the music video. For Ooh. Whitney Houston's Greatest Love of All.
You could have made that a question.
What music video was Richie in that Whitney Houston sang about the greatest love of blank?
We're off to a good...
No, tell that story. I like that story.
Well, the next sentence tells the story.
I want Richie to tell it. I don't want the internet to tell me. I want to hear
it
from
him. I like that there's a two-sentence synopsis of his entire story of that video, though.
Okay. Let's see how long it takes it.
Richie
Wikipedia's got it down
first.
To two sentences.
You have to ask me like James Lipton. Yes.
When did you work with Whitney Houston?
With Miss Houston.
When did you work with Angelica Houston?
I think I was...
You're in... Four.
Okay, thank you. I was four.
Wikipedia said you're four.
And this is before you played any instrument.
Yeah, yeah. My friend of the family's worked for Arista Records and said there's an open casting call for kids with instruments at the Apollo Theater. So my mom, dad, and sister drove me down to the Apollo Theater. I had a little D'Agostino Les Paul copy with one pickup on it, and it was like quarter-sized.
Okay.
It was adorable. And I had like a gray suit I was wearing with a gray tie, I remember.
You were very cute.
Thank you. And we went to the Apollo, and me and all these kids lined up, and they were like tap dancers, and there was like a kid with a tuba, I remember, mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And they said, any of the parents want to stand on the stairs and watch the kids? And of course, my father was up there in a second. So when the camera came on, my father like yelled something to me, Rich, like boogie down or something like that. And I thought he said like, get down. And then I like ducked. So you can't actually see me in the video because like, I think like I'm like out of the way or like, you know, doing like a guitar move
right.
when the camera panned over and like I'm completely not in the video.
You can see your dad.
But my dad's in the video. You can see him. If like if you look hard enough, he's on like the spiral staircase or something in the back. So you could see him in the video. You can't see me in the video.
Wikipedia
but
says.
But I think I had a picture of me with Whitney Houston. I think I was like sitting on her lap or something like uh-huh. that. And my sister Nicole took it to school one day and lost it. So that's the end of that. So I have no proof. So you know what? Scratch that. I was never actually in that video. Never happened. It's a lie.
You're not. We see you in the video.
No.
I don't think you can.
Really? Wikipedia says that you were blocked by the guitar strings on the headstock.
Really? That's not what it's skinny.
Because wow. You were so skinny that you were blocked by strings.
Oh, I guess. I don't know.
You said that your guitar got caught in a little girl's hair.
Oh, no. They had to move me because Whitney Houston's mom is in the video. And I remember this very vaguely.
You were four.
I was four. My dad told me that what was happening is there was a scene where Whitney Houston's mother, Sissy Houston, walked out onto the stage, and I had the string ends on my guitar, and her dress kept getting snagged on them as she walked through the kids. Mm. So they moved me out of the way, and that's why.
Further in the back.
Yeah. It's okay.
Put the fat child in the back.
It's okay. I wasn't fat yet.
Did you get sweeped off the stage at the Apollo? Did that guy come out?
The clown came out.
Did that guy come out and sweep you off?
Yeah.
So let's jump forward a little bit. Obviously, we've heard, because we talked to your dad a couple episodes ago, and we know where, and we had the Wayne's World episode we were talking about, like when you first heard Queen for the first time. But you're one of the earliest influences I know from you was the Beatles.
Yeah. My first influence, obviously, like you said, is my dad. But you know, when you're a kid, you discover music. And I, for some reason, just even as like a 5-year-old kid, couldn't connect with contemporary music. Like it didn't get it. I guess what was happening at that time was like a lot of freestyle and stuff like that, especially living in Brooklyn and then Staten Island, like a lot of Guido music. And I, you know, it's fine. I like it more now than I liked it then.
Guido music?
Yeah. Mm. Like that's stop.
No, I like that.
So
it's the dance song that they play at every club is
Yeah, so I mean I saw that movie La Bamba and that came out and I loved that movie and that kind of put a fire under my ass to get guitar lessons and we had a guy come to the house and I was terrible, and I told you this before. My grandma said I would never be on Star Search. I think I said that before on the show.
Well, you were already sweeped off the stage at the Apollo.
Yeah,
Star Search was out.
But then now, I don't know, Jared, you tell me. Did Ferris Bueller's Day Off have like a big impact on you?
Did it have a big impact on me? Yes.
Because I think we're the right age where that movie just was like made for us.
It was Ferris Bueller's Day.
How about you, Andy? You're
school sucks, man.
Well, you're a year younger than me, Andy. Like,
yeah.
Were you into that movie as a kid?
Yeah, I guess. Not really.
Fun fact, Mia Sara, who played Sloane, is married to Brian Henson, Jim Henson's son.
Wow. That is a band there geek fact.
You heard it here, folks.
You heard it here first, if you didn't already know it. But talk about La Bamba, because I one of my earliest memories of you actually playing music was in sixth grade with Aaron Ashkenazi.
I don't think we played La Bamba, though. We played Long Tall Sally.
No, you played La Bamba. Played La Bamba by yourself?
No, we played...
I don't know. I saw a pretty adorable video of Richie singing We Belong Together. At
Joey
age
Martin.
5 or 6.
We belong together.
Maybe I'll put the audio in here at this point.
Oh my god!
In the background while we're talking over.
No. I died like four times.
Like, a moment of silence. We can play it.
Right.
You're mine. And we belong together.
Okay, right, right.
How was that, everyone?
Yeah, that
You're
that's a
mine.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's when I was eight. But
you were eight there? You were so small.
I was eight, yeah.
You were chewing your little cheeks. Oh, you're so cute.
This is like all
you
said, very interesting ate. Interesting podcasting going on right now. What would you...
We're kind of jumping all around
no,
the place.
No, no,
here,
here's but, that story. Yes. That story was we were in junior high school, and they had a foreign language fair where all the teachers got together and asked the kids, would you like to do a presentation for your foreign language class? And mine was Spanish. So I said, I told my teacher, I was like, I know all the words to La Bamba and I can play it. And she's like, great, do it. So I got my band up there and we played La Bamba. And so the show was like a typical junior high school show. And it's like, you know, it's all very cute and you know, I get applause. We played La Bamba and the my whole class went nuts. Like the whole grade. The seventh grade.
Yeah.
You remember that, right?
Was that one of your like first performances?
No,
live?
No. But okay. But that was like in school. So... We, you know, I'd already been playing for like 4 or 5 years at that point, but the school went ape shit. You know what I mean? And the teacher came out and said, "Do another one." I'm like, "What?" Well, it's the only Spanish song I know. So we go into "Knock It on Heaven's Door" because that's like the three chord song our band did, right. And we do that, and the place goes nuts. Then the bell rings, damn! And I'm walking off stage, and there's kids dressed in like. Full authentic like Italian garb waiting to do the Tripoli dance, right? And like looking at me like I just killed their dog. You know, being like, we were gonna do the Tripoli dance, right? Right? And like they were all dressed up and they had a whole routine and they couldn't do it because we played one extra song. And then what did right? It wasn't no our teacher said, do another one. And then our drummer goes, he goes, what is that song you did have to do anything with foreign language? He goes, you mean Knocking on Heaven's Puerto? And that's what the drummer said.
Who is that?
Neil Alper. I remember. I never forget that. Neil Alper went up to the other kids and goes, what do you mean, Knocking on Heaven's Puerto? That's what he said. You want to play some Knocking on Heaven's Door?
That's hilarious.
Yes, I want to play Knocking on Heaven's Puerto.
Puerta.
Well, it's funnier because he fucked it up, I think. But we did the Guns N' Roses version, of course, because we were... What's that?
The Spanish.
That's the Puerta. Padre, take this.
Oh, man.
Well, okay.
If you're a beginner... This podcast off already, yeah. We're going to do it right now.
If you're...
I'm dying.
Why is that so funny?
I've never seen him crack up like this.
That's good. That's a good one.
It's good.
This Andy crack up was brought to you by the Spanish language.
The foreign language fair.
The IS-72 foreign language fair.
Only Andy can crack himself up like this. No one else can.
Now, why did you...
It hurts. My chest hurts.
It's all the Mountain Dew you've been drinking. I saw it on 60 Minutes. Why did you identify with La Bamba so much? Was it because his name was Richie also?
Ooh.
No, it was a really popular movie, and La Bamba was all over the radio. And out of all the other stuff that was on the radio, I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I like this song for some reason. I liked 50s rock and roll. And so when I heard that, I was like, oh, I this is cool. It's like a hit song. It's like every once in a while... the record industry releases a song that shouldn't be a hit, and you're like, oh, wow, this is a musical song. I like this song, right. You know? This is not like anything else that's on the radio. And so that's why I liked it. I liked the movie, and you know, I remember as soon as the movie came out on VHS, I had to have it, and I watched it a bunch of times, and it was like the first CD I ever bought. I think I was at the mall with my great-grandmother, rest in peace, and she was like, I was like, Grandma, I want this Richie Valens CD. And she goes, oh, okay, and... So I think it was like $13 at the time, and she
Sam
bought it
Goody.
For me. Yeah, probably Sam Goody in the mall. And I brought it home, and I was expecting to hear Los Lobos, and it was like Richie Valens, not like the slick
movie version.
Yeah, not like the slick, you know, 1987 polished, you know, reverb delay Los Lobos version that is amazing. It's like the you know. It's, you know, it's that's a great version, but it's not the, you know, the really slick version.
Sound
I was,
like it does.
Yeah, it's like, Grandma, this is the wrong thing, and I already took the plastic off. But So yeah, that's what I liked about it. But so that's an easy song. Let's play all these songs. Who gives a shit? Yeah. All right.
Let's play a little bit of.
Oh, let me make this a little less distorted. Hold on.
While you're figuring that out, they played La Bamba on an airplane that I was on, like, in 2005. And it was at the end, I swear, they played it, and at the end, it was, like, quickly edited to edit out the plane crash.
So
it was,
no!
So it was, like, Richie, who's on the plane? Like, Richie Valens and the Big Bopper.
And Buddy Holly.
And Buddy Holly. And they're on the plane, and then all of a sudden it starts to get, like, turbulence. And then all of a sudden it, like, jump cuts to, like, his brother listening to the radio, like, Richie Valens' Whaler and the Big Bopper were killed in a plane crash. And then it jumps again, like, it jump cut again to him going, Richie! And then, like, the plane, the credits rolled. I was like, why would you show the whole movie to edit that out?
All right, Phil's looking at me right now with the panic face.
The look of, okay?
What face?
What face?
Okay, La Bamba is a 1-4-5, Phil.
It's the same.
It's in the key of C. Yeah. This is still too distorted. Hold on. I should play a strat on this, but I don't have one. Okay. Okay, so. Let's hear the bass. Now, the drum part in this is not like Twist and Shout. It's like okay. Boom, ta, ta, boom, boom, ta, ta.
Right.
It's like a bossa nova kind of.
It's Spanish.
let me hear the drum beat. But a little more, a little brighter. And come back down the end. Instead of going up to the high G, go to the F on the bass. So it's bum, 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 bum.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1, 2. Oh, 1, 2, 3. The other really easy song to play that I used to play a lot then is Knock on Heaven's Door. I'm going to show you that. This is, if you're a beginner guitar player, this is awesome because it's four chords. G, D, A minor, G, D, C. That's it. That's the whole song. So let's do it. You gotta do the big Matt Sorum fill or Steven Adler fill. Ready? Can't use it anymore. It's getting dark, too dark to see. Oh yeah, in the chorus it just goes G D C. Feels like I'm knocking on heaven's door. C every time. Thank you.
puerta es abierta. ¿Dónde está la biblioteca? Juan es muy guapo.
There are many books in the library.
I have a canary, and it is pretty.
The tractor is red.
Nice vocal range.
Thank you.
All the way from La Bamba.
Open that door, someone. It's really hot in here. Okay, yeah, so.
Anne-Marie likes to keep it warm because she's dressed like she lives on Tatooine. Anne-Marie's dressed like she wants to sell us R2-D2.
No, it's not funny. Sorry,
audio
honey.
Audio podcast. I got a busted converter.
I'm going to stop by Tashi Station.
What's that
later.
Flashing?
segue over to Andy because Andy has some technical questions for you around this time of your music education.
A lot of people know you from your videos, and obviously you've been recording music. Do you remember the first thing you ever recorded?
I probably have a copy of it
on
somewhere.
Like, you know, a Fisher Price, I had something.
Oh, I do remember the first thing I ever recorded. Okay. That was me explaining the plot of Empire Strikes Back to my father. I might. I gotta like look through my dats. Oh shit! I just took my dat machine out of the.
You recorded it on dat?
No, I had it on cassette, and then I transferred it over to dat.
Okay.
Because it's safe there.
On dat, sure.
Yeah, it's digital.
I don't know, maybe. But that was the first thing. The first song.
And how old were you when you like started doing that?
Oh, like actual like 4-track recording?
Or just, you know.
I did the same thing that you probably did, Andy, that everybody does, is you record yourself on a regular boombox, and then you grab another boombox, and you play the tape of you playing drums. Like, I remember I put a drum machine on, and I played bass, and then I would record that onto boombox A,
right,
and then record boombox B,
I have one. I'll bring it in. I'll show you.
I did that same thing.
And do, like, guitar and vocals,
yeah.
And then you have a really shitty-sounding 4-track recording.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then once you get past a certain point, it starts echoing back all weird and
yeah, it's horrible.
Some really cool stuff.
Now it's like kids are like, what do you mean? My Mac has GarageBand.
My iPad has.
I have 128 tracks.
Did I tell you the nerdy thing I did with my boombox?
What's that?
I have like a big old like Sanyo Ghetto Blaster that was my mom's, and I searched online endlessly.
I don't think that's the correct term.
Ghetto Blaster? Oh, that's the term.
Is that the actual model?
Yeah, no. But that's what it's called. No.
The GB420?
I wanted to use it, so I searched endlessly to find a cassette, you know, to put it in that I could plug my MP3 player into it. But I didn't want to have the wire sticking out of it because the door wouldn't close.
Right.
So I found on like some Korean website this tape cassette that has Bluetooth in it. So I charge up the tape cassette, and then I use the Bluetooth from my iPhone, and I can use my Ghetto Blaster. It's
nice.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Did anyone help you like when you were in your early stages of?
My uncle had a 4-track that had 1 track broken, so it was a 3-track. So Uncle Phil, how do I get track 4? It was track 1 that was broken. How do I get track 1 to work? Dad, don't worry about that. It's just use 3. 3 is good. If you can't do it with 3 tracks, you know. The Beatles had 4 tracks. What do you think? You're the Beatles? He didn't say that.
Well, nice. I am bigger than Jesus.
I remember the first like good thing I ever did was I recorded More Than Words by Extreme.
Okay.
but my voice was so, and I did like the guitar on 1 track, vocal 1 on 1 track, and vocal 2 on the other track.
There's 3 tracks.
But I needed a capo. On the 3rd fret, I had to do it in B flat because my voice was so high.
Like, wow.
Saying I love you is not the words I want to hear from. That was the key. Now I do it in the same key. Saying I love you. That's the same key. Hey, let's do a little bit of that.
There you go.
I like this. This is like a musical like.
This
timeline.
Is storytellers.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can actually sing this song.
Sing it falsetto. It doesn't matter.
Saying I love you is not the words I want to hear from you. It's not that I want you not to say, but if you only knew how easy it would be to show me how you feel. More than words is all you have to do to make it real. Then you wouldn't have to say that you love me, 'cause I'd already know.
Wow, I'm a little wet. I'm sorry, moist. I'm a little moist.
Oh, that's a worse word.
So that was your first recording.
That was it, but it was in B flat.
That's awesome.
And then I did some like original. I remember I did Stand By Me, and I did some original tunes, and And then what happened is, my uncle's kids were born, and they used to like putting shit in his recording equipment.
You mean the one sitting here?
No, it was actually his sister, and then his sister, we used to put, I think, like pancakes and shit in his 16-track tape deck. So he's like,
so quiet right now.
Phil's laughing right now.
Well, because Phil still puts chocolate and things and
Phil
food.
Puts his balls and things now.
But, it's warm there.
No, my uncle had this like I remember it was like 12 or something, and he had a Fostex E16, but actually 14 of the tracks worked on that one.
It was never exactly.
You don't need track 1 and track 16.
He also had a 4-cylinder car that only 3 cylinders worked. Yeah.
you put your Simpty on those tracks. So that's a music geek. It was a 16 track, and he had like a Tascam 24 channel board. And his kids were like destroying it. So he said, "Why don't you keep it in your basement? Learn how to use it."
So you're like,
I'm like 12.
12 now.
And I'm a 12 year old with a 16 track analog. Nice. Like, now it's no big deal. Now you have a laptop.
I was a 12 year old with only a 4 track. So.
Yeah. Well, you were poor.
There you go.
But no, I'm kidding.
Meanwhile, down the other end of the avenue, little 12 year old Jarrett was making radio shows with his sister. On a boombox, we were doing the American top 3, and we were pretending to be radio personalities.
And look at you now,
and then
co-host of your very.
And I remember one very specifically where we were doing impressions, and I was pretending to be Robin Leach for some reason.
Look, can I speak to Robin Leach, please?
Let me get into character. I'm there. it was really terrible. It was just like, oh, I'm Robin Leach. It was real.
That's great. Keep going.
No, but that's like, I'm doing it much better than I did. I probably have that somewhere too.
Champagne wishes.
It was just like, and no, you're going to be on Lost Stars of the Rich and Famous. And then I remember we would talk about like a song that was on the radio, and then play the song, like, but it was really terribly recorded from like boombox to boombox.
This actually relates to you, Jarrett. On my 16 track, one of the first things I ever, like the first successful things I recorded was our junior high school theme song, like our class song for our junior high school graduating.
That's right. You won, didn't you win a contest?
Yeah, we had a contest, write a song, and all kids were like entering like We Are the World with different lyrics and stuff like that, and like, you know, we are a school, or I don't remember what they were saying exactly.
No, the funny thing is he's totally not making that up. There was like 9 different versions of We Are the World.
I didn't mean to rip on your version of We Are the World, Jen.
No, your song was great. Your song was good enough that I can still go, I won't forget you.
Yeah.
And that is no mistake, I won't forget you. At the Rock O'Lory School.
Yeah, it was like that. And I recorded it on a 16 track, and I had a little Remo PTS drum set, but the snare drum had broken 4 years prior to that.
It was a 5-piece drum set, yeah. But only four.
Yeah, Uncle
drums.
Phil gave it to me. It was a 5-piece kit, but it was missing a snare, so therefore it was a 4-piece kit. So what I did, you know what the fucked up thing is? My grandparents had a music store. I could have picked up a phone and said, "Grandpa, can I please have a new snare drum?" And he would have been like, "Okay," but I was like, "Nah, I've always been like this. Like, I don't need that. Nah."
You're still like that.
Yeah. So
you most certainly are.
Yeah. I don't need that newfangled real drum stuff. So what I did was I had a wooden chair from like my mother's childhood that was cracked and like in the basement, like in storage, whatever. And I took it. And I hit the stick, hit it with the stick, and it sounded like a really like tight piccolo snare drum. So I just put the seat
chair
in front of my seat, and I played hi-hat, and I cracked the fuck out of this.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I think I remember.
Crack! And if I put enough reverb on it, it sounded like a snare drum. And so that was the snare drum for that. And then it was cool because the whole graduating class sang it. It was awesome.
Are you listening, kids? We didn't have the technology.
Yeah.
We had to make up things.
Yeah.
Oh.
Imagine.
To invent things.
Well, you know what the thing is? Like, the current generation, because they've had multi-track recording in every single device that they own,
right.
like your phone can multi-track record, right. Your computer can, your iPad, probably there's probably an Xbox game that does
right.
that. You know what I mean? Because they've had it, they don't do anything with it. They don't create anything. Like me, I was like, oh my God, I have I could record 3 tracks?
Right.
Poof, brain explode. You know what I mean? I was on that thing constantly.
You're getting a little crotchety.
Yeah.
Back in my day.
Yeah.
We had to borrow tracks from our neighbors 15 miles away.
Well, you know what? Here's another funny Uncle Phil story. Later on, I got a MIDI sequencer. And like my grandmother said, here's the thing. There was
16 channel MIDI, but only 14 channels.
No. My grandmother had a music store on Bath Avenue in Brooklyn called Bath Music, and it's a legendary music store. Anybody who lived in Brooklyn from like the 70s to the 90s has stories about this place. But she during like a certain time, all like the techno and like electronic music gear was really out of fashion. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then when the techno craze happened again, everybody was looking for the stuff. So I have like a lot of cool things from that era. Like I have a Roland SH-101 that my grandmother gave me because she couldn't
right.
sell.
Yeah.
Now you look on eBay, they're like thousands of dollars.
Right. So, yeah, yeah.
It's the
SH-101. So I remember she gave me a sequencer and I went to Uncle Phil. I got a sequencer. Where do I plug the cables in? Like how do I plug the cables? And he goes, well, you see, MIDI is a musical instrument digital interface. So what you're doing is you're actually transmitting data. Now, I'm 13.
Right.
Right? I'm going, okay, where do I plug the cables in from the keyboard? Well, you got to control the flow of information. And what you need to do is think about where the data is flowing and you're triggering sounds. And I'm going, okay, so I plug the cable into the input? He goes, well, you got to think about it for a second because you're transmitting digital data from one device to another. And then you're playing it back. And I'm like going, Uncle Phil, can you tell me where to plug the cable? I have 4
right,
cables.
Right, right.
Which one goes into the keyboard?
Right.
Which one goes into the thing? And he refused to give me an answer. Uh-huh. But now I understand MIDI really well. Thanks.
Because
thank you.
Yeah. Of that. Right.
I'm glad. Fast Uncle forward. Phil, by the way, is Philip's father.
Yeah.
And I remember that sequencer. And if you looked at it today, it was like something out of like some weird alien movie from like 1963.
Yeah. It looks like something in Frankenstein,
yeah,
Dr. Frankenstein's
exactly.
lab.
It's crazy.
Had a big toggle switch on it and lightning and that weird buzz.
But when I recorded my first CD, I used a sequencer. I used 16 track machine. And I would stripe Simpty. Here's something. Here's a really geeky thing to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the place for it. What you did, you know, now it's great because if you have a computer, your computer has MIDI built into it and virtual instruments. Like if you buy any Mac laptop, it'll come with GarageBand,
right.
which has drums, keyboard, strings, horns, like synths, everything you
and
want.
And you could pipe in guitar.
Yeah, and then you could sing on top
sing,
of that
sing
and like
on it.
Oh, 16, 24 tracks or whatever. What I had to do is I had a 16 track and I had a MIDI sequencer. So what you could do is you could sequence something, then record that onto a few tracks and play along with it. But then that burns tracks. then so say you record like four channels for your drums, and then you record you know, your MIDI piano, your organ, your horns or whatever, then you're down to like eight tracks for guitars, vocals, and bass and stuff like that. And I didn't want to do, I didn't want to burn those tracks. So what I did was I had a SMPTE timecode generator. This is crazy.
Which basically records a sound that goes.
It sounds like a jazz guy improvising.
That's called a
what, callback.
There
That's
you
a
go.
Callback. Right. I'm learning comedy from Jared. So you record that onto one track, and then you feed that track back into the sequencer, and the sequencer can sync up to it. It was pretty cool. It, you know, it's but see, recording in like 97 was a lot different than recording it in 2014.
Because
when you turn your computer on, it's supposed to work.
Right.
Like, and when it doesn't work, you go to the forums and say, hey, why is this not working? You learn to fix really quick. When I like got SMPTE timecode on a an audio track and got it to trigger and sync up with the computer, I felt like the smartest person in the world.
And it probably worked better than your Pro Tools rig now.
No. It definitely did not work better. No way. So yeah, should we play a song from that CD?
I was gonna from
Alone in My Basement.
Alone in My Basement.
Yeah,
we can.
Yeah. Or did you want to mention something else first?
No, I'm because I know we've been jumping all over the place, but I wanted to jump back to the Beatles because I know that. Mm. We'll talk about it after, but I know
you also you threw it to me and we didn't do the Beatles song.
Yeah, no, that's what I was gonna say. We did want to do a Beatles song for you guys.
Ferris Bueller. Yeah, I saw this. I saw this on Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Matthew Broderick, awesome movie. And there's that parade scene where he sings that song. I love that. But I remember going to Uncle Phil again, and I said, "Do you have any Beatles albums?" He goes, "Well, there are 14 tracks in a Beatles album, but I only I said, "Can you give me some Beatles songs?"
There were four Beatles, but only three of them work. High five.
No, I said, "Can you give me Twist and Shout?" He goes, "I have that." And he goes, "You want any other ones?" He's like, "I saw her standing there." I go, "Okay, what else?" "I want to hold your hand," because those were the ones I knew, right? And he goes, "All right." He goes, "You like hit music, I know, but I'm gonna." He goes, "I'm going to give you something else because, you know, sometimes."
And you're like 12 at this
point. Yeah, he's like scolding me on, you know, like, "You only like songs you could dance to, right? But sometimes, you know, there's merit in listening to a deep album track." So he goes, "I'm going to give you also this album called Rubber Soul on the same cassette." So on this cassette, I had Twist and Shout, I Saw Her Standing There, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and all Rubber Soul.
Wow.
And that it was a long play because and that's when I got to the Beatles. But let's do a Beatles song. Can you hear me that Rickenbacker? This is while we're doing this, I could tell another story. This is like my first nice guitar that I'm going to play right now. This is a Rickenbacker 325 V59. It's like the John Lennon guitar, and
yeah, it's not the black and white.
It's the one he played in the early 60s.
The black and gold.
Yeah, my dad got this for me for Christmas one year. And it was really cool. And he was pissed off, though, because I knew he was getting it for me, and I found where he hid it. And I'd been playing it for like 4 months before Christmas.
Where do you hide a guitar? It's not like hiding like an action figure.
The back of the closet.
No, what happened was my uncle had a flood in his house and had to keep all of his basses at my house. So there was like a row of cases in my house. And I knew they were his basses, so I knew Uncle Phil was cool with me playing his basses, so I would open them up and play his, his Alembic and whatever he had. And then I said, "Oh, this must be his Rickenbacker bass." And I opened it up and it was this guitar. And I said, "Ooh, I think that's mine." And I played it a few times. And
that's how Richie ruined Christmas.
Yeah. And my dad like said, "Richie, Merry Christmas, here's the guitar." And I go, "Oh, wow, Dad, I am so surprised." You know, I tried really hard to pretend I was surprised. He's like, "You saw it, didn't you, you little bastard?
I'm going to go play your Nintendo."
Yeah. Call back.
And Philip is playing the Hofner bass.
Yeah, so by all accounts, we should sound like the Beatles. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm playing a Roland V drums from 1993.
Just like Ringo.
Just like Ringo did in 1964.
This song sounds an awful lot like La Bamba.
It's the same key, same chord. It's in D, but all right, Twist and Shout is really D, G, A, but I'm not going to blow my voice out today, so we're going to do it in C, F, and G.
Like La Bamba.
All right, One, two, three. Guitar is horrible to play. Listen to this.
Somebody call John and tell him to get his awful Christmas presents.
I guess it sounds right.
Sounds good.
It's also going through a VHT amp. Not meant to go box. Through this amp. Yeah, switch with me.
All right, so we're gonna fast forward now in Richie's career a little bit. I think you could play something from Alone in My Basement. Alone in My Basement was you like... That was a lot of work for you, and I know that happened during, that was high school, yes?
Yeah, that was junior year I did that.
And why did you decide all of a sudden, like, I want to do a full album?
I heard Bumblefoot, Ron Thal, he started teaching lessons at my dad's store, and my dad came home one day and said, hey, check this out, one of my teachers did this. And he played me Adventures of Bumblefoot, which is Ron's first album. And I was like, holy shit.
And it's like all instrumental.
All instrumental.
And he did programmed it, the drums.
He did it on, I think, an ADAT.
Right.
He had 8 tracks, right? And he programmed the drums on an Alesis, like D16 or S16. I don't remember the name of the model. But he programmed all the drums, all instrumental, played all the bass, all the guitars, sang all like the background vocals, right. And ripped 8 tracks.
Yeah.
Blew my mind. I said, a guy I know made a CD with 8 tracks. I got 16 tracks in the basement.
14.
Yeah, 14.
And to be old man for a second, like back then it was like he made a CD. Yeah. A CD. Things people buy in a store that
CDs,
can't buy.
CDs were very difficult to make back then because I remember, I heard Ron's CD and I immediately latched onto him. I mean, he was an amazing guitar player, but that's not what I was interested in. I was like, how did you make a CD? Right. How'd you do this? How'd you do... And he was very... he was really good about sharing knowledge. You know what I mean? He wouldn't be like, I'm not telling you. Fuck off, kid. He was like, oh, you like recording? Let me show you. And eventually I would like intern at his studio and stuff like that. But I recorded my CD. It took me 9 months. I did all the music except for one tune. But I use Ron's example. I sequenced the drums and I played everything I could and sequenced everything I couldn't play. And it was like I just started getting into like English rock and like concept albums and stuff like that, like Sgt. Pepper, The Wall, you know, stuff like Night at the Opera. All that like heavy duty English stuff.
Yeah, Alone in My Basement was like a story from like
it's a concept album, yeah. And so it's my first CD. It's a concept album.
We were playing at that point, and we were doing like. Yes, and ELP.
Oh,
and
yeah,
rock
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah,
too.
So there's a little bit of that in there. And then I recorded that. And here's the point I wanted to get to. To put on a CD at Ron's studio, he worked at a studio called Wave Street Studios. and they had a standalone CD real-time burner. Right. So you would take the output. So we'd take my DAT masters, and he would play them through the – because you had to make it master on a CD first. So he mastered it. If you made a mistake hitting a cue point or if the master peaked, you had to throw the disc out.
And start all over.
And you know what CDs cost?
Yep.
$35.
Right.
So every time Ron made a mistake, which he only make like – we only ruined like three CDs. But that's $100.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
Of in seed in, for three CDs. Oh, because it peaked for a second. Oh, there was a the cue point was late. Right. You know, the track point was late.
Right.
So $100 for three CDs.
There you
crazy.
Go.
But now it's super easy to make a CD,
and you can record it anymore. And upload it, and it's done, and then send it to a company
that prints it on a website, and then they send it to the people that you want. It's very simple.
It was actually really exciting because I mailed the CD into a place. They mailed me the CDs, and I went to Staples and I printed out all the liner notes, and I got like a paper cutter, and I had my whole family on the kitchen table.
I came over one morning.
Yeah, stapling and stuffing CDs, and my friend's dad, my friend Matt Lindauer's father, Jeff, was a graphic artist, and he did the layout for me, you know, and then we printed it out in black and white, and we got the paper cutters and the staplers.
Lewis Kornfeld did the
artwork. Yeah, my friend Lewis Kornfeld drew the cover. Like all my friends helped me with it. And then I brought it to school, and everybody's like, wow, a CD. Someone has a CD.
And you it's know? Original music, and it's like a full-length CD.
Yeah,
it's
a full album. People bought it. Like I sold out of those. And
you sold out of your first pressing.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, now if you brought a CD into school, it's like, hey, so I have a CD too. Fuck off. You know what I mean? That's the... If you sell 10 copies, oh my God, we're a hit. You know,
the lady on the Staten Island Ferry sells the CD.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have a YouTube channel and a podcast.
Yeah, I have music videos. I have all this stuff.
No, it was. I remember it was like a crazy thing.
Did you have a release party at school?
At school, yeah.
And was that the one where you played the whole album?
We played a lot of it.
Or was that
played
the whole album?
I don't know.
I know there was one release party where you literally played through the whole album.
Probably Progeny, because
that was a year later, basically.
Yeah. But that was, that was a lot of fun. I'll play a quick snippet of a song from that.
Wake up, young man, and come here to undo your chains. Get out of bed. Escape from this prison you made. You can't stay much longer. Your fears will get stronger. This bottle inside you is full. Get out of your basement. Shut off your video games. Open your book and read us the lines of your pain. Alone in your basement, the pages of sorrow. The bottle inside you is full.
Okay.
And that was me and Richie and our friend Andy Graziano.
I just played Alone in My Basement.
Oh, Alone in My Basement.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. And
you want to hear a Progeny song?
Yeah.
No, we did that. We did that a year later, and that's after I got a computer.
And you got a computer. So that was the first digital stuff.
Yeah, but that's more progressive rock. That's when we got into the prog stuff.
Yeah.
So here's a little bit of that.
Change, they stay the same. As time goes by, you'll be by my side. I guess you lost the love you used to have for me. You're turning into someone I don't know. Hold on.
you'd never leave this place.
Wow, that was really proggy. Okay, sorry.
So, Joe, it's going to be great when you don't add the songs in. No, well, that's my question. As far as production goes, do you remember like listening to something or hearing something and being like, wow, that's not just like three guys like playing guitar, bass, and drums and singing. Like, there's more stuff going on.
Yeah.
Like, you know what?
Bryan Adams.
There you go.
I heard Everything I Do by Bryan Adams, and I wanted that drum sound. Like, I was like, how do I get that? And I kept putting, like, I would mic my shitty snare drum from my basement, and I put, like, reverb on it, and it sounded nothing like that. You know, it wasn't until years later I realized that, A, it's, you know, $4,000 in room mics, a nice room, a nice drum set, and a drum sample.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's probably what's doing it. But yeah, like I was always like attracted to like the Mutt Lange stuff before I knew it was Mutt Lange.
Right.
And then the Roy Thomas Baker stuff. Like I always knew that like George Martin, Roy Thomas Baker, and then eventually Mutt Lange were like my favorite producers.
Right.
And yeah, I mean now I like a lot of other people, but those were like, you know, and that like, you know, Mutt Lange and Roy Thomas Baker really got me into production. I actually went to school for production. That's my my degree is in production for audio. Yeah, so I'm
and obviously a lot of people are listening to this because of your Bohemian Rhapsody video.
Yeah.
How did you approach like getting that type of like you emulated the recording sound of that? Oh. You know, not you didn't just play the parts, you actually like tried to get the sounds of the drums and the guitar and everything and
yeah,
and the vocals too. Like when was the first time you started like thinking about like, you know, double, triple tracking vocals?
That was 14 questions.
No.
And only 12 of them worked.
Okay. I think Ron told me. When I was like, you know, sort of interning with him, I said, like, how does Yes get this like awesome vocal sound? He goes, oh, they have every guy in the band go up to the microphone and sing the same harmony. I said, wait, so there's not just one of each part? He goes, no, they do it three times.
Right.
And so then I remember trying on my 16 track recording the same vocal three times, and I was like, oh, that's the sound. There's the chorus I've been wanting, you know. So that's when I learned what triple tracking was, and then I realized that Brian May actually does that on guitars, you know what I mean? And yeah,
Freddie Mercury does that on vocals.
Yeah like triple tracking is something I use almost all the time.
Was that what you did for, was it, I could be wrong, hold on, was that it?
No, that was like quintuple tracking. Yeah. That was nuts. We needed a separate session for that, the beginning of that.
All of these albums that we're talking about, by the way, are all available on like through Richie's website, iTunes and stuff. So please go check them out if you don't already have them downloaded. Alone in My Basement.
I think
Bird's Eye View had Progeny. A lot of vocals.
Yeah, I don't know if Alone in My Basement's available on iTunes. I got to check that out.
Two-part invention, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But I want to take a quick intermission here, because you talked about like, at the time, you were very into like prog rock and ELP and stuff like that. Do you want to play a little bit of Roundabout?
Yeah, but I want to actually take a Facebook request too.
Yeah,
and
there's a couple I have up right now.
Yeah, I'm looking too on Facebook right now.
Somebody requested Heart of the Sunrise.
Yeah, can we play Heart of the Sunrise?
Sure.
Phil, this is Lagara. Phil, pick up the Rickenbacker. I'm going to show you the lick is easy. It's a pentatonic scale, or it's a blues scale.
Now, me and Richie, I met Richie in high school, and we've been playing since then, and. We had like a progressive rock kind of band, and I played keyboards, and
we completely skipped over Speed of Sound. Is that what you're talking about?
Who cares?
No, we were Speed of Sound. We were Function with a K.
Oh, yeah. As it is, I have to edit this show down to make it interesting.
Oh yeah. And I remember we played this at like our high school had like a guitar night where we had like we had a big guitar program in our high school, and then. So we had like a guitar kind of recital thing. And then we also had like a bunch of the bands, you know, kids and students that had like their own bands and playing. And we would play like rock music, like for like hours.
Keep in mind, Heart of the Sunrise is 10 minutes and 27 seconds long.
And we played this at one of those things.
How about this? I got an idea just for the sake of time. Andy, you want me and you to be you want to have two-part invention do this?
There you go.
Me and you do it?
All right.
Me and Andy got this. Okay.
We'll be right back.
comes to you and you follow. Lose one onto the heart of the sunrise. Sharp distance. How can the wind with its arms all around me? Lost on a wave and after.
Heart of the Sunrise.
Lost in the
I'd like to point out too that I remember watching you guys do that song, and I was one of the first concerts we went to, or one of the first concerts that I ever went to at the Beacon. And you guys had seen them like a million times already, but I was so impressed. At the time I was playing drums and I wanted to learn how to play that song. And it's one of the most difficult things to play on the drum. But I played it, but I cheated. Obviously you're doing like everything with like you know the hi-hat, snare, and the bass drum. But I was cheating. No, I was like I was doing it all on the hi-hat, like with both hands. Yeah, and I was like, oh man, I sound like him.
So we're gonna do another Yes song.
Yeah, I'm gonna try Roundabout. Can you sing this, Amory? Is that a good sound? Do you want some little grit?
The opening, I need the clean.
Okay, I'll give you the clean, then I'll switch for you. I'm gonna try Roundabout. Phil's gonna play guitar, I'm gonna play bass. Hit it, Phil.
Okay.
We already have a keyboard. Where?
Shit.
Start from there, baby.
You're staring directly at him.
I'm not looking at you.
Thank you.
right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
We just did.
Are we going to end it okay. there? Yeah, that's why it's over.
Right after I said the of distance atmosphere, I was like, oh, I knew what it was supposed to be after I said it. Of distance atmosphere.
It's okay.
But you got to do the move.
I love this bass.
You're rocking out on that song is very distracting.
Why?
It's awesome. It's just like you're moving
I'm
so much.
I'm pretending to be Chris Squire.
No, but you're like making the face and you're moving a lot.
I just want to play Facebook requests for the rest of the show.
Your podcast.
All right.
It's your special day.
Okay, let's do some Facebook requests.
It's your day, sweetheart.
Okay.
You can try on hats, but you can't buy any.
Yeah, let's switch, Phil. How about Phil on guitar in that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, Phil.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think me and Andy are just going to have to play these next few.
Okay.
Andy, we're going to do rapid fire requests. You ready? All
right, I'm ready.
Okay.
Wait, we're going to play rapid fire what?
Requests.
What are they?
What are they?
One, two, three, four. Finger request! Finger request! Finger request!
There you go.
Rapid fire Facebook request. One, two, three, four. Every
punk band ever.
What?
Seven Seas of Rye?
Yeah, I don't know that. Okay, here we go. So
hear
we got,
me, you lords and lady preachers.
So we have Cities on Flame. Go, Andy. Good job of visually cueing that. Okay.
Oh, I wanted
there
to do the
Eric excellent
part.
Requests here. Eric requested a song. Eric Bloom.
What does he want?
Boots are no. made for
what
walking.
Does he want? Okay.
I wanted to do the Eric part in that song. Rockin'.
Get the lyrics up to Boots Are. All right, I got it. I got Boots Are Made for Walking. Here we go.
But he wants Avery to sing it.
Does he?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Why would you sing Boots Were Made for Walking?
I sing everything. It's my show.
Because he wants to wear those sparkly hot pants.
Yeah.
Just cool me neat.
Do you know this song, Emery?
Yeah. You keep saying you got something for me. Yeah,
you keep saying you got something for me.
What?
What's wrong with you? I'm singing it and you're like, yeah, 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 over me. What are you doing?
I hate you. You ruined my show. Here we go. Ready? Or in a key of E. Is it major or minor? It's minor. You ready? Here we go.
You keep saying you got something for me. Shouldn't be messing, and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Yeah, Emery.
All right, rapid fire. Tempted by Squeeze. Go.
I bought a toothbrush
some toothpaste, a flannel for my face, pajamas, a hairbrush, new shoes and a case. I said to my reflection, let's get out of this place. Past the church and the steeple, the laundry on the hill, billboards and the buildings, and memories of it still. Keep calling and calling, but forget it all, I know I will. Tempted by the fruit of another, tempted but the truth is discovered. What's been going on now that you have gone?
Nope, go! Start playing! Rapid fire!
What are we doing? Oh, one night, yeah. Late December, back in 60.
What key is that in, Andy?
I don't know.
Exactly what Anne Marie was singing it in.
Alright, here we go. What?
Oh, what a night, late December.
Is that C? Alright, one, two, three.
That, but we can't end Cities on Flame, a song we hear every fucking night, but we can end...
I know where you were going.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Oh, is that the right key?
Twitter will tell you.
It kind of just talks the verse.
One, two, three, four.
Oh,
All right, rapid fire, go.
One of the Facebook requests is something from the 60s.
Anything?
It says something from the 60s.
Hold on.
Go.
Where's the sound I want? God damn it. This newfangled technology.
I feel like I walked into a Tarantino movie.
Amory?
I was 5 and he was 6. We rode on horses made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white. He would always win the fight. Bang, bang, he shot me down. Bang, bang, I hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, my baby shot me down.
All right, nice. Last request from our very own Brandy Metaxas, Girl Next Door. Off of Richie's album.
That's the last request?
Yes.
Oh, Muff wants to go home.
Okay. Well, no, I think that this, honestly, even though we kind of went into this randomly, this is actually like, if for those of you who have never actually seen Richie play outside of Blue Oyster Cult, this is kind of what a gig, going to see Richie and Andy and play at a gig is. People just yell out random things and they play it for 3 minutes.
Wagon wheel.
Before we do the last song, I guess, people can find us again at riotcast.com/bandgeek.
Yeah, riotcast.com. Thank you for listening to the most unfocused podcast we've ever had. But I think
we got cocky because this is the first one that, like, after it got posted, and now we're like, well, fucking people like us.
No, but I gotta tell you. This is one of the most fun ones we've done.
There you go.
I had a fucking blast.
Well,
I'm not going to have a blast editing this one, but right now in the moment, I'm having a very good time. And I'm not going to think about that because that's not going to be for another 8 weeks. I got to worry about this. I'm going to worry about this 8 weeks from now.
What is it now? It's the end of May, so...
Last days of May.
I get it.
Oh.
That's a musical callback.
Oh.
That's my favorite BOC song.
What? That's my favorite too.
That's if. No, this is if Henry Mancini wrote Harvest Moon. I can't sing Harvest Moon. There's like 4 million words in that song. No, I tried to sing it once with the lyrics in front of me. I'm like, this place has a history. The Spanish sent
it
here.
I think I could do it.
They went to get a sandwich. They went to grab a beer. They went to... I didn't know I was...
and they went to Panera. Phil loves that story.
No, he did not sing that.
He did. I saw Richie play with BOC one time, and I swear that... Buck forgot the lyrics for Don't Fear the Reaper.
Don't say his name. The lead singer of Don't Fear the Reaper. Just say that.
I swear it was like, came the last night of sadness, and it was clear that she couldn't go on. And they went to Panera Bread, and they got a sandwich there. And they said, we don't have any ciabatta bread. And he said, what about a salad bowl?
All right, let's do Harvest Moon, because
no.
I think I could do this.
No Harvest.
I could do it. I could do it.
Let's save it. Let's save it for when
it's harvesting.
When Eric or Buck are actually on the show.
Yeah.
Let's do the song off your album. Thank you for listening, friends. It's my right. podcast this week. I took control. I'm taking it back from Andy. I'm taking it back from Richard.
It was horrible. He did a horrible job. You're on probation. Phil's okay, actually.
Really?
Phil's
the 19 songs we just played that had no bass in them, Phil's okay?
No, I have no idea what's going on. Playing Flappy Bird.
Phil, I think you're fired.
Riotcast.com/bandgeek.
Phil might not be here.
@Rich_Castellano on Twitter. Richie Castellano on Facebook.
Phil or Muff.
Play your damn song already so I can go to sleep.
Phil and Muff might not be here next week. But join me and Richie next week.
Thanks.
Please tweet the hashtag #MoreKazoo.
Subscribe.
There was no kazoo.
Go to riotcast.com. Subscribe, like, comment. Tell us if you liked this show. If you want us, no, I'm serious. If you want us to do more shows where we do rapid fire requests, let me know. If you think it sucked and it was a terrible idea, we won't do this again. I think it was cool.
It sucked and it was a terrible idea.
You
need to make a comment, an official comment.
Go on iTunes and on your broken phone that you just dropped.
That's the sound of breaking bones.
That is.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Do you see me when I walk by you? You're so hard to resist. Do you know I exist when I'm walking right beside you? I fell in love with the girl next door. She's all I need. She's all. Like never before, I fell in love with the girl next door. I threw my heart into your window. You were laughing, you were smiling. You called me sweet. I poured my on your doorstep. I was standing there feeling unprepared when I got lost in your stare.